All right, here we go. After party 20, I think, right?
Wow.
We're at 20 already.
Crazy.
That's amazing to me. Yeah, we're going to talk about 60, 61, and 62, the titled From Above, Attack on Pisces, and the final set, or just final set. So we're going to kick it off here with From Above, which is our introduction to our new character, Mia. So,
whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
Mia in the house, Euphemia.
Pretty much it starts out with a story, which I thought was really awesome the way you guys sort of tell the story and then the big explosion and go right into the role play. I thought that was really cool. So tell us a little bit about the creation of Mia and how that all came about.
It was a while ago. Do you remember, Leland? Because I'm struggling.
Well, I think right away you knew you wanted to be a cleric, right?
I think so. I took like, I don't know, Bill would know, like a day or two, and then I kind of settled on cleric. Like, it didn't take long.
Well, when we chatted, you were thinking about maybe a level or two of fighter as well.
Yeah, so I thought about taking a level or I think maybe even just one level of fighter.
I think you would all, yeah, I think I remember you saying you were thinking about bard or druid, which was kind of a little bit what was happening with Bryn. But then you kind of decided you wanted to try something different.
I looked into Bard to see if it was better at a level 6, but when we did the one shot, I was like not happy being a Bard. So.
Well, that was mainly because you were fighting clockwork things. I think if you were not, it would have been better.
Yeah, I also think that I was hesitant to stick to cleric right away because I thought that that's what everyone wanted me to be, so I was trying to like make sure that it was, I don't know, like I felt like I was getting a lot of pressure.
No, you gotta be what you want to be. Don't be something just because we needed it.
Yeah, like, oh, we need a cleric. Like, we kept saying that, right? We need a cleric.
Yeah, but we made it this far without, so.
Some of you have, yeah. Half of you have.
The party will go on.
Once I started looking into clerics, though, then I started looking into their domains, and I stumbled upon a website that basically was, like, recreating like fictional characters in D&D, and then I was like, oh, I want to be Thor, basically, like, so that's where that came from, so, and then literally I was not creative and made the god I worship Thor, so.
Yeah, but that's fine, because like, you know, and even in the back of the player's handbook, it gives you Greek pantheons and all different types of pantheons, right, to play off of and add into your games, and I mean, yes, your character concept was predominantly why I had the returning hand axe do its little show thingamajigger. Of course, there may be more to that that is unknown to the party, but also the extra control you have over it, as if basically it works like a spiritual weapon, right? You can throw it and leave it out there. So normal Thor can't do that with his hammer, but Lady Thor actually can. Right from the comics. So that's why you have, I was like, oh, okay, this would be cool to let her be able to do that. So,
Yeah, and definitely, I think when I was creating the character, because I'm still pretty new, like, I didn't want to miss anything. Like, creating a level 6 character was something else, too. Like, from the get-go, like, just a lot to keep track of. So, like, I think even the first time we played, I didn't use some of the stuff that I could have. Because it's a lot to keep track of. So.
Yeah, well, especially getting access to that entire spell list, being a first time, like playing a spellcaster for the first time, that's a lot
crazy.
Of shit
too. I couldn't believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, I think the Tempest domain is my favorite cleric domain and very, very good choice, despite the current circumstances of the overarching threat. I felt kind of bad, but I didn't really want to say anything because your character was super cool.
Yeah, Mia is super cool.
Yeah, I totally forgot about, like, lightning and resistance and all that. I know nothing about Krakens either. Like, I basically saw one in Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever. I don't know. I'm new to all this, man.
Yeah, sure. I wouldn't have guessed that Krakens have resistance to lightning. I would have thought that would be a good damage type for a water creature.
I will say that Leland, one of the episodes, I think it was the last episode, said something, I think, as Campbell that said, well, you could go to the library and learn about stuff.
Yeah. Right,
and
we just
ignored it.
The mayor mentioned learning information too about it, and like you got the whole fight. It's like, no, we're getting out of fucking
to a library.
That's the way incorrigibles roll, okay?
Oh, man.
Yeah, but the fact that the Kraken could call down lightning itself, to me, was a big clue that it was going to be immune or
but
at least resistant.
Yeah. Playing D&D very often, there were several times in these three episodes, like several times, where you and John were both in character like, I was going to say the same thing. And it's like, because you guys have played before, you know exactly what's up. Like, oh, there's probably a crowd of people gathered to discuss blah, 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 right? Like, and then you also were thinking the same thing about Campbell or whatever. So,
well, I think it's great. I knew when you were going to call the lightning down, it had resistance. But I think if you did, you wouldn't know that. And Shaft wouldn't know that as a character. And you would try to use your most powerful thing. And I think that's great. That's where the characters learn stuff, too.
Right. And of course, Mia was created well before, you know, you had your character concept and she was created before that whole thing, obviously. In Pisces, right? And seeing what the Kraken can do. So you you had zero heads up, really.
Mm-hmm. However, there's like, you edited it to sound a little bit better, but like, we didn't do the backstory until after we had already recorded episodes 61 and 62.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
So then I was a little bit, like, as far as role play, I didn't know exactly. I was trying to feel out how to play Mia, but I hadn't really played her backstory, and it's no joke that after Leland and I finished the battle with the Nyogi and everything, and that like freaking long stretched out goodbye to my parents that probably should have been cut shorter, we sat on Skype and talked for 2 or 3 hours and discussed like month by month where Mia would have been in the world of Aspara, and she collected knowledge for that year that she was in Aspara adventuring on her own. So I got even more information like off mic. I thought that was really cool that you did that. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, that was awesome that you were into doing it too, because I want your characters, despite how long you've been playing them, to feel like they've always lived in the world, obviously, right? And more importantly, we want it to sound that way to the listener as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
And it also gives you as a player much more agency as well in some of your own decisions. And I think it empowers you a little more in your role play as well.
I think it also adds depth to the world of Aspara. Like, I think I said this last time around, but it's just fascinating to me to think about these other characters that exist and have existed while we've been playing that we're running into now. And, you know, it adds believability to this world. To think that, you know, Mia's been here or there or somewhere else when we've been here or there and she's been doing things and learning things.
And, I mean, quite frankly, you guys, really, your paths have almost crossed on a couple of different times, I think. And a lot of, like, there's a lot of influences in each other, right? Obviously, when the party goes somewhere, everyone there knows the party went there.
Right.
Very often there's some shit that happens and like everyone's like, okay, the encouragement party was here. It's like
it reminds me of that scene in the Goonies when Chunk and Sloth are coming underneath the country club and you're like, yeah, they've been through here.
Yeah,
the pipes are all a mess.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that I really, really like these solo episodes, and Elena's gotten 2 of the 3 we've had now. So I will be killing more of your characters more frequently so we can have more solo introductory episodes.
I know we had a nice discussion about whether we should do the Mia solo episode after she was introduced in 61. Is that 61?
Yeah, that's right.
We did, didn't we?
Or do it before. And I think we had a wise decision of putting that out there so everybody knew who she was. And then she was introduced into the story.
I think so, too.
Flowed very well.
Yeah. What did you guys think of? So we got with Elena, with Elena's new character, I was like, okay, basically pick one of the 3 overarching things we have going on that you as a player would like some more information on. And Elena chose the Nyogi. So I was like, okay, great. So that's what you know, you're going to get some, because I like giving some additional information. Like Shakar got a bit on the ooze and stuff, and the introduction with Campbell was awesome. That was all Emily. That Emily incepted Campbell, right?
Part of my decision came from you, like, suggesting, I think, that I was from Barrack, and I was like, oh, yeah, we've never, like, discussed that city, and then it's close to the Vorgereg Mountains, so it just made sense.
That's true. That's true.
I didn't know that that's what happened. I thought Leland decided all that, so I thought, okay, obviously we're just not paying any fucking attention to the Nyogi, and so Leland is going to jam that into her backstory episode, so hey, this is important. Stop worrying about all the other shit.
I mean, quite frankly, you're not. And...
Well, and part of me was curious. There's so much more that I know now. And, the spaceship threw me for a loop, man. I did not he took out a lot of pauses and, like, mouth agape, just like, what do I do? I don't know what's going on. Oh, man.
Yeah, can we just pause for a moment to reflect on the fact that there are spaceships in our D&D adventure right now. I find that amazing. I never would have guessed there'd
There's
be...
not a marker to draw eyes on a rock, but there are spaceships, you know? like you got a stick of charcoal. You got a freaking...
I never would have thought that in a, you know, a fantasy RPG that there might be interplanetary, you know, other races from other planets. That's amazing.
That started way back in, I think, second edition, maybe I just advanced. That's the whole Mind Flayer Illithid.
Yeah, it's okay. Part of like these alien species kind of thing, absolutely. And a lot of that is hinted at in the Nyogi lore itself too, as well. So there, like space is still a thing, right? There is still a space above Asmara, right?
Yeah. So yeah, there's so many different threads to D&D, you know, the Lithid and the Githyanki War, and I mean, you can go down any rabbit hole you want to, and there's lore for miles and miles and miles.
Absolutely.
And just having a little taste of it. It can be a curse, you know, even in any D&D campaign, if you know the monster and you know what it can or can't do as, you know, as a player, and to be able to play that as your character trying to figure out what it is,
right?
You know, and I think we're with these bug eel creature things, I don't think we have any idea at this point, except for Mia,
the sashimi, I mean Nyogi.
Yeah.
Right. And that's not come up with the other characters yet.
No, mostly because until the very until the very last session we hadn't done Mia's solo episode.
We did know that I was going to take the background of folk hero and, like, town hero and save Barrack. So when you guys were like, hadn't heard of me, I was like, I'm kind of a big deal. But I didn't know why I was a big deal yet.
Well, you haven't exactly had a chance to bring it up with us either.
Yeah.
We've kind of been thrown into this Kraken thing.
I'll save that comment for when we get to that part. I just thought of a Shakira part I really liked. Shakara, gosh.
I think I'm looking forward to you playing somebody who's really into themselves, like, you know, not Tolstoy-y maybe. But
yeah, I think I definitely played it more up at first, and then after doing the background a little bit, I think I'm a little bit more scared and insecure about stuff. You'll hear something in the next episode, I think, that shows that I'm a little bit worried about, you know, my image and living up to what I've told you guys since I met you.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't like it. We didn't really explicitly make it clear during your solo or in 61 when you met the party, like, that all that episode 60 was a year ago for Mia. Like, it's not like it happened, like, last week, and she's like, let me tell you about what the fuck just happened to me last week.
Oh, yeah. Did we not make it that clear?
I don't think anywhere we, like, explicitly said, like, you know, because Mia's 20, she's not 19, and session 60 was your 19th birthday.
Yeah, I still like, too, that you guys, like, at this point think I'm human and, like, that kind of thing, but that the listener's in on it for longer than, you know... So I think that's cool, because you guys definitely, as far as Shaft and Shakar are concerned, while we played 61 and 62, you believe me to be human. Bill had a little bit of a heads up for when I created my character.
Right. So what made you want to be an Asimar?
What was your character's name in the one-shot, Bill?
Drudge Jed.
Oh, yeah, Drudge.
Oh, you've been practicing.
He didn't really make me. It's the one line he can do.
Yeah, that's about it.
He's done now. Right? We do. Someone from Romania.
Boggles my mind.
Okay, someone's got a VPN changer and is like
most likely
messing with
us. Yes.
No, anyways, I wasn't like super intrigued when Bill did it because I don't know. The pictures that he had were like dark and scary and stuff, and I knew I wanted to play Mia really good. So I don't know. But to be honest, when I started looking into what paired well with Cleric, the Protector Asimar stood out specifically because it has a wisdom modifier bonus. So that's a little like, what's the word that you guys used when you like...
Min-maxy.
Yeah, min-maxy. So it was a little bit min-maxy, but...
Yeah, but that's not that min-maxy. I mean, a lot of times you there's stereotypical race class pairs for a reason,
yeah.
Right? Like it's
then I read on to see that you can freaking fly for a minute and you got wings, and that like went
nice.
With me like holding my hammer up in the air and just like taking off, and I was like, yes, that is what I want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where that came from. I don't know where the disguise came from other than like, I don't know. I thought it was cool if maybe she didn't exactly know and was coming into her own skin, and like, because Asimars are pretty rare in Aspara, so to just sort of try to blend in more and not have a target on my family's back or anything like that.
Yeah, I like the amulet idea.
Yeah, that's cool. I think it's cool. I also think it can like add some depth to her character as she gets more comfortable with you guys and might take it off, leave it off, or put it on for like when we get into a city. I don't know. Just flavor. But I will say, when I created my character, I was going to buy my skill points or whatever, but then Leland and Emily convinced me to roll for it, and I rolled sweet rolls. Like, I got some pretty high stats.
Well, you actually rolled shit in your backstory, though.
I wrote terrible down
here that you had a lot of sixes. So
I couldn't roll over a 10. It was so bad. I think when we recorded it too, I probably a couple times was like, should we redo it? Like, this is supposed to be, you know, chapter two, like more polished. Like, we can just edit and pretend. And he's like, no.
More polished doesn't mean cheating.
Well, is that cheating? I don't know.
Well, there was a point we were playing and you were fighting the Umber Hulk and you're like, okay, it's like, what's happening? Like, what's going to happen right now after this? Like, what if this thing beats me? I was like, no, it's going to throw you off this cliff. Okay, get ready.
Like, yeah, so he like, told me.
Like, in the moment, a bit of heads up. Like, you know, these solos aren't, they're not,
there's
they're not scripted, obviously, but like, you know, Mia can't die. Like, she's going to show up in the next episode.
I made a joke about you killing me off.
I really like that you had the thing throw her off the cliff so she could discover her wings and all that. I like
that
a lot. Yeah,
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I did not see that coming at all. I was like wondering what the heck's going on here. Like, how's this going to end for Mia? And then she gets thrown off a cliff and I was like, okay, well, this is bad.
I want to know if you guys believed me in my acting skills when, you know, he pushes me off and I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, I kind of knew it was coming. I felt really cheesy just saying it.
I didn't know that you knew it was coming.
Okay, good. Nah. I was trying.
We're telling a story, right?
Yeah.
So you're gonna have. But for the most part, we don't know what's going on. We don't know 99% of the time. Even if we're told very clearly, go to the library. You know, do those kind of things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We hear it when we listen back. Yeah.
We don't need no book learning.
Nah. You guys are street smart.
Streets ahead. Right, but are we, though?
Yeah.
No.
Thank goodness you guys found Captain Grimby again. I tell you what, because boy, oh boy, you would be lost without that man.
I did have a question just while we're on the character creation stuff from one of our very loyal listeners here. they were wondering if maybe I had chosen cleric because, you know, if when Bryn had died, like, if a cleric was around, like, maybe she wouldn't have died. Like, she could have revivified or whatever. So it's kind of like, are you... I think we've already answered this. I was trying to fill a gap without feeling, like, forced to fill a gap in our party. But I never... The answer is I never thought of it like that, but...
I don't think we've... There wasn't a lot of pressure. I don't think any of us really... We're like really being like, you should pick a cleric. You should pick a cleric.
We joked about it a few times.
Yeah. It was mentioned that it'd be nice to have a cleric. I'm sure we've said that a handful of times. But
well, staying on the topic, we had a question from Super McDad, right?
Yeah. So, question from Super McDad: Mia is obviously a deep scion plant. What? You think it's a coincidence she just turned up like that? I think not.
What? We know you have trust issues, Bill, but my gosh.
I think Super McDad has trust issues, too.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. I have some comments on that. We'll get to that. So what else is he continues, right?
Yeah, so he said, who ultimately decided to give up on the Raise Bryn project, raising Bryn from the dead?
New launching on Kickstarter, April 1st, the Raise Bryn project.
Funded in how long does General Rose last?
Funded in under a week.
10 days.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then he says, Shakira knew people that could do it, and we probably could have worked out some sort of deal.
Shakara, yes, not Shakira.
Oh, sorry,
Shakara. That was... Shakira, I didn't even notice Shakira. I did it.
I think off mic or on Discord or something, the spirit has to be willing, and at a certain point, I was too amped with my new character laid out. Because, I mean, when I was, like, broken up over Bryn's death, I just poured myself into looking into new options, and then I got hooked. So I was like, I don't think she's coming back, guys. So
Elena killed her.
I killed her.
Sorry, yeah, David. Elena killed her. We didn't, I mean, I guess he touches on us being able to make a deal, but all of us are... running pretty low on cash, and from what we knew, this was going to be like potentially thousands
Shaft
of dollars,
is rich now.
Or at least many.
Yeah. Shaft, I think Shaft absolutely knew it was going to be extremely expensive, but he also knew it was in his best interest that she not be around anymore, right?
Yeah.
I've got some extra cash now.
I think Shakara probably knew somebody that would do it for a favor. I mean, it would have been a big favor. Already had three storylines going.
Would raising Bryn count as a good deed?
I don't think so.
That would be undoing a screw-up.
Yeah, no, I don't think that'd be a good deed.
Undoing a screw-up and bringing back to life a pretty chaotic rogue.
I mean, a life is a life, but I still don't think that's deed-worthy.
And for the future, it's not like Mia could have still been part of the party doing that favor to raise Bryn, right? It's not like...
And I wouldn't have had to play Bryn, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we could have dealt with it in some other way. It could have been whatever it was. She could have come back wrong. Oh, she should have came back wrong. Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah.
Good thing we burned her.
I do just think that, like, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know what? Like, it didn't end how we thought it would end, but it ended.
It
like,
ended,
it,
yeah.
It totally. Ended. Yeah. And now... I didn't think of it when planning my character, but I definitely do prepare the spell Revivify if we know we're coming up against something.
Right,
so
right.
I've got it. Basically, I can, if you guys don't know, I can bring someone back, right? Like, if they died a minute ago.
Within a minute, yes. If they're dead within a minute, it's like a defib, basically.
Yeah. So I can shock them with my hammer right to the chest. Clear!
And I think it's totally within the characters to believe they just saw Gozer and Thuft and Uncle Vanette. Whatever the hell his name was, Vanette, and you know they don't want to see Bryn come back.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
Right.
And you know I think Leland mentioned it at some point in time. I don't know if it was off mic or not, but you know maybe your bag of holding may not necessarily seal out all the black.
Oh right.
And yeah. So I think when we brought up to burn the body and just get rid of it, not a bad idea. And which leads me to you know, our good friend Barry, who did come back.
There we go, yeah. Let's solve this mystery. I'm so confused. Well,
there was one last thing I wanted to say about the solo episode. Okay. Is
sure.
The weirdest part for me was playing Elena's dad.
Yeah, that was weird. That's what I meant by, like, the long extended goodbye. Yeah, yeah.
Actually, oh, sorry, you know what?
I said dad.
That wasn't the weirdest part. The actual weirdest part was for a week after, Elena just kept calling me daddy. That was the weird part.
No, that's not. This did not happen.
And Bill did, too. That was the even weirder part.
It was weird to be like, okay, love you, dad. I definitely sounded like I was from Michigan when I said dad in that episode. I know I did.
Pam!
Yeah. Every now and then Mia turns into Pam because I forget what Mia is.
So before we get on to the other stuff, I guess, anything else you want to talk about in the solo episode, the Nyogi, the things that you know, why you decided to leave and go out and adventure in the world, anything like that?
I will tell you guys that the year that I spent in Aspara between Barak and the Nyogi incident and Pisces, I spent investigating the Nyogi specifically. So, like wagons and that whole situation. So, I think it'd be more fun to have it come out and roleplay. I'll need to, before we play, like, next, refresh my memory to just drop some tidbits for you. But, you know, if I don't know that you guys know, then, because, I mean, we've been really focused on this black goo and Kraken. Like, I've heard some background stories, but there's no way you guys would have told me about the Darklings and the sewer and that kind of thing, right? And Jolvi.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe someone mentions Jolvi and I perk up and I know I have something to chime in. I don't know. Or Hannah. Wink, wink.
Nudge.
That's it. But before you get to Barry, there was a whole other episode before Barry.
Yeah, but it was like, okay, Kraken, lightning, does nothing. Mia, all right, hello. Barry's here!
The TLDR. Call lightning, does nothing. All right, Barry!
I guess we can talk about Shikara and worrying about, you know, poor Falzarin and Shaft being left on their own, you know, and deciding finally to get on the horse and go, tell Pisces that we have a Kraken coming. I think was a good, little bit of role play there. And then it's one of those things I think we're trying to do in the show is try to go, hey, we're okay. It's not going to get any safer. Falzarin and I can roll some hit die and we'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Em mentioned last after party that she's like, Emily doesn't like to split the party. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, did we touch on that last after party?
Yeah. But I still was like, when I got to Pisces, I was like, okay, I got to get back. Which really, I should have just stayed and helped the town and screw them.
Yeah, so the next thing I wanted to talk about was when you came up from the guard in Pisces and you said, hey, I really need to talk to somebody. And he's like, yeah, whatever. Well, roll.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, oh, dear God, we're all going to die.
I hate beasts.
Yeah, I got some chuckles out of that one.
Well, I'm glad it turned out all right, because like after that play session, I'm like, man, I shit the bed that session. I was like, I'm glad you guys had. I was literally thought to myself, thank God they had some awesome role play, because everything else on my part, I felt like it was garbage.
No, it was fine. I thought it was funny.
No, I thought it was great.
Oh, I didn't. I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah, I just thought that was funny. I was listening back and I thought, wow, what a great changeover of the die roll.
Shikar's very convincing.
Yes.
Yeah, so we recorded that episode where she ran to Pisces and we ran into each other. We recorded that a week after Bryn died, like in real time. So I had a week to make my character. And then Shikara and I met each other and I like didn't know how to play a good, happy character. And we actually re-recorded the meeting each other because it was so awkward because I didn't know what to do.
That, and I came down really hard on you and I was like, well, you're supposed to be welcoming you into this group essentially is what my role is here. And I'm like alienating you instead.
I don't super remember it, but it was, yeah, instead of being like, who are you, it was a little bit like, okay, let's re-record this. Hi, I'm Mia. Like,
it was more like, you fried those guards. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What Elena was doing is realizing that it's really hard to listen to what's actively going on in the game while staring at spell cards trying to figure out what to do.
Yes.
Reach,
so that episode specifically, that instance, I was like, even listening to the episode back, I did not hear half of the description that Leland gave, the tentacles, all this stuff, because I'm looking at my cards like, what am I going to do? What do I got? What do I got to throw at it?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, there have been so many times where, I'm playing Falzer and there's, I'm trying to figure out what spell I'm going to use next, and I totally miss, a handful of sentences that are said, and you just kind of have to roll with it, try and fill in the blanks.
Repeating, I just cut out the repeat, right? Because listener heard it.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal. I really, really, really like so far, and obviously, like, to date with releases is not entirely clear, but I think it's starting to form for the listener just this, the two separate party dynamics we have with Shaft and Falzarin versus Shakara and Mia. I really like the way some of this is going. It's not like you're actively against each other, but it does feel like there is this separation between the OG and the newbies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cool thing about Mia right now, too, is that she's so, like, oblivious to that division. She doesn't see it yet. Like, she definitely thinks Shaft's just a great guy. He's funny. He's quick. Whatever, right?
And he's not a dwarf.
Yeah. I did that. That was Elena having some fun. Just like when Shaft's like, well, there's a moon out, you know? It's a good thing there's a moon out. Good thing you can see, guys. In improv, you got to say yes and,
I love, oh man. Before I continue, was there anything else about 61 we wanted to touch on? I think, we had Bryn's funeral, for God's sakes, in 61. How do we gloss over that?
Yeah.
Well, yes. I hope the keen listener picked up when Bryn was burning, I played the same music I played whenever Bryn had a visit from Ciari. She kind of went out on that same little tune.
Ooh. Yes. Nice touch. Very nice touch. Yeah, I was feeling emotional. That was, and partly because there had been, I had played Falzarin as being a little bit annoyed with Bryn at times. And then I think, he felt really guilty, and I did a little
as
bit
he
too.
Should.
But, Elena's first character got killed partly because of my character dragging along and dragging her along.
I mean, the last exchange you, Falzi and Bryn had was basically you two bickering.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. I felt bad. Legitimately bad.
That's right. Shaft was lying to me about treasure and crap. Oh, no, that was Brendel. That was Brendel, too.
Yeah, it wasn't Shaft.
No, it
Shaft's
was
always on the up and up.
I mean, to be honest, losing her in that fight is what hit me hardest, and then saying goodbye, I was already ready for the next thing. But
sure. I really, in that moment, I really liked. It was short, but just the exchange Falzi and Shakara had, where Shakara was like, "No, Falzi, and you didn't hit her like I hit her."
Yeah,
that was really good. I liked that.
So do we want to talk about Shaft's reaction to the tiny hut? That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Why are the Jewin doing this?
So I wanted to draw attention, in role-playing, when you see something new and you have no idea what it is, to, show what would you do in that situation? And I've played a wizard before. I sort of knew what the tiny hut did, but I wanted to, draw attention to somebody. What the hell? Why haven't you been doing this for a while? And it sort of makes fun of suddenly when you level up, suddenly you can do new things, right? And five minutes ago you couldn't do it. Now suddenly it's just
I believe what you actually said is this is the most useful thing you have ever done.
Yes, that is a quote.
Friend would have finally perhaps thought accurate. You had value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If only she could have said about that part. I like to think Bryn was looking down.
Oh, no, no. She's looking up and frowning.
Oh, yeah. She's looking up.
I definitely liked that quote, too. But I pictured, like, it was like Shaft in a candy store, a kid in a candy store, like, just, like, looking at it from every angle, figuring out, oh, I loved the way you were describing it. It was so good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that part. That was pretty fun. It came in handy when we killed, back going to killing Barry. So let's talk about Barry.
Oh, man. Another, like, wound. I felt so, and I also felt bad because part of me suspects that Barry might not have been hostile.
No, there was no, us,
like, we killed the poor
might
guy.
Might not have been hostile to us, you mean? Because he definitely killed that cultist.
Yeah, but, I mean, he came up and curled up right beside the tiny hut. He probably smelt us in there and recognized our scent and was,
he would,
you know,
smell Bryn's dead body
and
then, like, kill you.
Shakara didn't know Barry. Shakara knows Barry is undead. Shakara would kill Barry.
I know.
Well, once again,
Mia too. Yeah,
one of my favorite parts when we were trying to be quiet and you were going, "What is that?" We're going, "Barry." Barry.
And I was like, "Now Shaft is lactose intolerant. Yeah. It's canon." He had some bad cheese, and then nothing escapes the hut. You know,
that's
such a good joke.
I just love that.
Just hot falls
in it. Was like, I'm not going out there. 8 hours isn't up yet. I'm not going out there. No. Wait, Shaft. Wait, I ain't going out there.
Well, we'll have a Barry alarm clock, is what Shaft said.
Why did you want Bill? Why did you want him to wait till the hut was done before killing Barry?
So he was rested, I assumed, because he's a little baby wizard with no spells.
Yes,
he's got no AC, man.
Yeah, exactly. But I was just worried about, you know, something going south and maybe more attention being attracted to us or who knows what. I was just like, you know what? He's just laying there. Let's just leave him lying there.
Let sleeping bears lie.
Dead bears lie.
Jinx. We all just said it.
He's not hurting anything. Let's see what happens after we get our long rest.
Yeah, I think Shaft thought, first off, every time we've brought him out, he's died relatively quickly, usually by our own hand.
Right.
Secondarily, every time he dies, he turns back into this little wooden thing. And here he is, not in this wood. So I thought he's some kind of a, I don't know, zombie type thing. If I kill him and everything's cool, he'll just turn back into the little wooden thing, right? Like he always has.
But, I mean, Leland pointed out that he was already not wooden for over a minute.
Yeah, but, I mean, from a perspective of the character, Shaft would not have thought about any of that.
Okay, I guess.
I mean, I don't think Barry's ever lasted a minute.
Oh, hell no. You kidding? Like, two
not
rounds.
Yeah. Close. So how did he escape? Like, didn't, like, when we were in Erica's cave, you picked him out of the water, put him in your pocket. Like, you had him at that point. How did you lose him?
I rolled a 20 on initiative while I was
in the lake,
swimming away from
the
crabs.
Yeah, the trool.
And he burst out of my pocket and instantly drowned, floated to the top, sucked in the black goo.
Well, yeah, so here's what happened. We made a bunch of jokes of whether or not Barry could hold his breath, and then we completely forgot that Barry existed. And,
yeah.
And I was thinking, I was like, man. One day at work, like a couple of weeks after we recorded that, I'm like, okay, we totally forgot about Barry. And I forgot to post the picture. I will post the picture with this after party. I had one little sticky from that day at work. I was brainstorming and it just said, "Give party Barry." And that was all this sticky notes said.
You did show us a picture of it. I remember that.
So he wasn't hostile.
I will neither confirm nor deny that you could have made Barry a companion for the party.
Doesn't matter if he was going to be a companion. He wasn't going to turn back into the wood. We're going to be walking around with this wide-eyed, diseased-looking badger. Giant badger, by the way.
Yeah.
It threw town and stuff. We're already a chaos to everything we touch.
I really think Mia and Shakara wouldn't have it. Like, Mia kills undead. Like, no,
right.
No, no, no.
Yeah,
no.
We wouldn't have walked around with an undead badger.
Yeah, I totally get that. I think part of me is just like, I always think back to when Leland was narrating Barry, like, looking back over his shoulder. I forget who fireballed him, if it was Ben or me.
You're just riddled with guilt about everything, aren't you?
And I just think this poor badger, he's been put through so much.
You know what?
Abuse.
Falzarin has a lot of issues right now and hang-ups.
You did write that as a character flaw on your sheet, right?
Yeah, I was. Trust issues. I actually wasn't joking. You should add that as a flaw on your sheet.
Super trust issues. I will say, though, that, like, Shakara, I was getting a little bit more suspicious hearing it back. You just really gave Campbell a lot of information. None of us interrupted you. We just let you
I did.
Get
I tried to.
I know. Shaft did
Falzarin
try to.
Tried to a little bit. When she got onto the Tritons, Falzarin's like, yeah, I don't want to, you know, don't want to overwhelm you with information and waste your time here.
But you
got it. So.
I've known Campbell a lot longer than I've known any of you.
Yeah.
But in your backstory, is he a deep scion?
Well, no. But that doesn't mean anything. We all know
he
that.
He is now.
I will say every day at work when something goes horribly wrong, which it usually does, I think to myself, Wunderbar!
Wunderbar.
Oh, yeah, Campbell. Oh, I love Campbell. I love Campbell and Grimby. Campbell should have got on the boat with you guys. He should have agreed to go with you.
No, because he might have died. No. If anybody that travels with us might die.
I mean, that's true.
I was going to bring that up if no one else did, that I love how we tried to get Leland to have two NPCs that we would have to play at the same time.
Always.
In the party.
Remember when he was Thuft and Brendel talking to each other?
Well, yeah. Next episode, there's even a classic. Third NPC in which you try to recruit
That's
onto the
true.
Boat. So stay tuned to see who.
That's true.
Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Oh, man.
So that when we were in town, it brings me up to another thing. When Falzarin wanted to get everybody's attention.
Oh, yeah, man.
Another great moment where Shaft was going to pull his weapon and act like, I'm not with this guy. If we need to kill him, I'm in. I just hid. And then I think Shakara really pulled her weapon somewhat, too.
Well, yeah, because he shot off his finger. So I didn't know if there was a threat, if he saw some threat. So I was going to be ready for whatever was going to attack us, which was nothing.
Yeah, so Bill, what was your thoughts there?
Well, I mean, partly I thought it'd be a little bit dramatic.
A little bit.
But
okay, Falzarin.
You know, that could have went horribly wrong, right?
Falzarin's a little drama queen.
Yeah.
He's like the type of person that's like, I don't want no drama, but then he like creates it like purposefully.
No, I mean, we needed to, as soon as I heard all of the docks and the port is closed, I was like, oh, crap, we're screwed. And then so I was like, well, somehow we got to, you know, do something to convince this mayor. Firstly, we need to get her attention amongst this huge crowd of people that are all jibber-jabbering and upset and shouting things and yada yada. And then, you know, secondly, we need to convince her to rescind the closing of the ports and let us take a ship out.
So why not scare the shit out of her?
Yeah. I mean, come on. Everybody loves an Eldritch Blast.
Well, it worked.
Yeah, thanks for rolling with that, Leland.
Well, Falsey is a wreck right now because he, like, sits outside the jacked eel with his ear pressed to the door, not knowing what to do. I go in? Do I?
His decision making is totally out, like,
okay,
all over
well,
the place. Just crazy.
It's becoming quickly irrational, it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's becoming the mad, like, weird wizard.
Yeah. Do you got a mercury lining in that Kappa casting there, buddy? What's going on?
I actually kind of like it. I think it makes Falzarin really interesting
yeah,
to be,
me
like,
too.
Super chaotic because of this Brendel thing.
Oh, I think it totally makes sense.
It screwed him up so much that, like, now his alignment has even maybe changed, like, oh, just crazy.
Well, he's always been chaotic.
Yeah, but you're kind of lunatic
leaning towards
now.
Neutral instead of good.
I just don't think you're going to be trusting of anybody after going through what you've went through.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think any person would have some trust issues after that. But, I mean, we saw a band of cultists walking towards Pisces. And then we get to Pisces, and all of a sudden, where is everyone? So
I wasn't worried about that. I was pretty sure it was a town square situation.
Well, the music that was playing at the time didn't hint at it being so.
I know. I liked that the music made you think that, though. I liked that.
So I don't think it's too far-fetched to be like, hey, you know, what if a bunch of cultists and whoever's involved with the cultists potentially had all had a plan to have a coordinated attack on Pisces once this Kraken was unleashed?
Totally.
When you talk about the music, I was listening to the episode this morning, and I got to work, and I still had like 10 minutes left, and I was listening to the point where Grimby Chum said he was going to take us on the boat, and the music changed to this moment, and I was just sitting there, I was like, yeah, Grimby. It was all Grimby, the music.
Grimby, Grimby, Grimby.
Like, I'm like, he's like the taxi driver, but man, he's the best taxi driver.
Yeah.
So, the music makes a big difference, I think.
You're not allowed to kill off Grimby, Leland.
I hope he makes it. Quite honestly, it's in your hands. I hope he makes it.
Poor Grimby.
I'm sure the seas are completely safe.
Hey, the sea, she be a crew mistress, I tell ya.
I don't think anybody that travels with us is going to have good odds.
Yeah, this is as safe as it gets. And I'm like, you know, Mia's like, I like good plans.
Second guessing.
And yes. Shaft is like,
Second guessing being joining up with us.
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure if Niyogi conversation happens sometime soon, I'll be more likely to stay with you guys longer. But
I like when Falzarina said, we're in a port town, we're in Pisces. And he says, you've probably heard of this island off the coast.
I know. It's right there.
Describing it on a map. To the southwest.
Oh, man. Massive landmass out there. You might have heard of it.
Right off the shore.
Oh, hey, you can see from here. Look at that.
Yeah. Get on the roof and you can see the top of it over there. That
oh,
place.
Man. Those type of moments are so Falzer, and I love it.
They really are. They really are.
I mean, come on. Port Randis is much closer.
I mean, I won't comment on if they're Bill comments, but they're... I'll call them Falzarin comments, but they're...
I'm just
Bill
trying to play the character.
Bill has the mind of a goldfish, so he likes to say things over and over again. Did you guys know he can swim really fast and hold his breath for a
what?
Really long time?
Oh. Why didn't you tell us?
I'm not sure if I mentioned this.
He doesn't know how to use his breathing ability, for Pete's sakes. We've seen a future episode. I'm going to have to edit around that.
I've been screwing that up for some time now because it's not an innate ability I have. It's a spell.
Yeah,
it
basically acts as a free spell.
Way to go.
I don't think it's been abused, though. Like...
No, but I always describe
as being
it
as able to
as
just
like
do it.
An ability.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yes.
You describe it like you're Michael Phelps or something. It's like, okay.
Well, it's been one of those things he's been holding on to for so long. Now he gets to finally let it out, and everybody doesn't care. So, you know.
Shaft let it out, and you know what? It didn't escape the hut.
What's in the stays in the hut, right?
What's in the hut?
So much pent-up pressure is finally just being let loose.
I'll tell you who did care. Brendel. Brendel cared. Falzarin.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
He cared quite a bit about your abilities.
Yeah.
Probably can't answer this, but did Falzarin's other friend actually die? The reason that Brendel came back?
Oh, probably not.
I'm betting probably not. That was probably a bunch of BS.
Definitely.
From that snake in the grass, falls. Snake in the grass, Brendel.
What's his name, John? What's Brendel's name?
Was it in one of these episodes, or it might be the next episode I was editing? Like I called Falzer and Brendel in the middle of a sentence too.
It's okay. You called me a Bryn a few times too.
It's tough to get your name straight when you keep dying, like dropping like flies here.
I know. You were like Bryn. You did it a couple times, but it's all right. Well, I have a couple questions. Do you guys have anything else to say before we move on to listener questions?
Go for it.
Did we cover all the episodes?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, 62 basically ended with you guys talking to Campbell and Shikara's excellent rant about the adventure. That was so good.
I thought that was great. That was excellent role-playing.
I think that just pissed Shaft off. I was going to say Shaft is over sitting down on a chair listening to this, with his hand, his head in his hand, shaking his head like, why are you just, pewing all this information out on him about what's going on? I don't think Shaft really liked that at all.
I pictured Shaft. Do you know how he cleans his fingernails out with his rapier? I pictured Shaft, like, right. trying to clean his fingernails out and just, like, so frustrated he's, like, making his fingers bleed because he's just, like, cringing so hard that
Nick's a little Shakar too deep.
Is, like,
yeah,
shut up!
Well, there's a part where Shaft, like, he's like, whoa, who knows what he was? Like, we don't know what Brendel really was.
Yeah.
Well, I would think, Falzarin would be, like, untrusting of Campbell at this point, too. Like, everybody. Right? So we wouldn't want to be saying anything about anything from a Falzarin's perspective, either.
It almost sounded like Shakara was going to launch into talking about Falzarin's powerful friends, the Tritons, and that's when Falzarin kind of stepped in and was like, well, I don't want to keep you here all night telling the story, so.
I wasn't going to say that, just that you had friends, and I was going to leave it at that, because that is your information, and if you wanted to share it, that would be up to you, just that we have another quest that we're going on, and we may need some help from him.
Right. That little rant you went on, Shakara, was the part I was going to bring up earlier. Like, I just loved it, man. It was so...
it's just, so you good. Know, I mean, she's out on her own for her first time. She knows Campbell better than any of you guys, and so she's catching up with her friend and telling him about all the exciting things that have happened. Exciting in air quotes.
Deadly things.
I think Shaft is struggling because he really wants you to trust him and like him. Right. Yeah. So he's going to be doing everything he can not to get in your way of being of doing what you would normally do. But he's very frustrated because he doesn't know how to
sell him.
He doesn't know how to sell himself to you guys yet. And I think that's, he and Falzarin, I think he's sort of got an understanding with Falzarin to a degree. But, he doesn't know Mia at all. And Shakara's, seems to be way too good, right? She's going to cause him issues that there's going to be some point in time where he's going to have to. And I think some episodes coming up sort of lead into a little bit of those kind of things. But that's what I like about having characters with these all different end goals is the interaction between them.
And I think Mia's good too, but I think Mia is good but more gullible than Shakara. Like, I think Shakara is a little bit more perceptive, maybe. Like, I think I'm playing Mia as, like, pretty trusting of you and a little bit, like, persuaded. More easily persuaded.
I think you were both very young, and I think it shows in your roleplay, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Yeah, so,
yeah. Yeah, Shakara is, only 15
or something?
Yeah,
but she's, like, an adult for a Dragonborn. 15
adult for a Dragonborn, but only on her own for 3 months.
Ooh, yeah.
I've been living at home, basically taken care of, till just 3 months ago.
Well, I mean, it's the same as being 20 years old. 20 years, you're technically an adult. That's adulthood, but you're still 20 years old.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny when Mia said, "So Shaft, you're in charge of the group," and immediately, absolutely not.
And everybody else was like, "No, he's not the leader."
I definitely said that on purpose because I think that Mia would have thought that because you're definitely the one that like. Says something here and there, and we're listening to what you say, and like you're influential.
But I don't want to have anything to do as far as being a leader of this little organization.
For argument's sake, who would be the leader right now? I don't know.
Falzarin, obviously.
I don't really think so, though.
Not Falzarin.
For this particular moment where we're fighting the Kraken, I think it's Shakara.
Yeah.
Well, Shakara has proven to be quite assertive. In the short amount of time that the listener has known her, I think. So.
I mean, the Eldritch Blast, kind of gutsy. I think one of the reasons why I wouldn't consider Falzarin to be the leader is because he's being so erratic.
Yeah, I don't know if gutsy is the right word.
It's not really it's not Falzarin's personality type to lead. He's an observer and has no desire really to be in the limelight and have a bunch of people looking to him.
Eldritch Blast.
That makes me wonder why, Elena, you had Mia say, "I'm just a follower. I'm a follower." And very adamantly.
During roleplay, wanted to, like, wink at you guys, and she currently met you for less than a day, she's along for the ride, however you want to address the Kraken. So I wanted to let you guys know, as you're role-playing, like, wink, wink, I'm not going to come up with any ideas. I'm following along. Because I think maybe a week from now, sure, I'd feel like maybe I have a place where you guys know me, I could suggest something. But, like, a day in where I'm just now joining and facing some... See, and that's another thing where she's not as confident as she's trying to appear more confident than she is.
But she's kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah, but she's telling you that. It's like a front.
Okay.
Like she is strong and she could be a great leader, but she doubts herself deep down and is scared of the Kraken. The Kraken is like literally immune to her most powerful attack. Like, she's scared of the Kraken, which is why she's going with you guys.
Sure, that makes sense. I also, I mean, just again, stereotypically cleric, like when I think cleric, like, unlike paladin, I don't think leader when I think cleric, right? Like, a cleric literally is a follower. That's what, you know, it's what they're worshippers, that's what they do, that's what their shtick is. Yeah, so it's interesting that you say that, though.
I think if Mia had enough successes come her way and, like, some more triumphs, where she's been really grinding for, like, a year without too much success with the Neogi.
Right.
If she had some more successes that lined up, her cockiness could come back and she would consider herself more godlike and probably, you know, her ego would get bigger. But it's right now, it's not. It's a front if she's saying things like that, which you guys you don't need to know that, but that's how I'm
right.
Yeah, I'm scared.
No, I think it'll play itself out. I mean, I know we have stuff already recorded that's gonna change a little bit of that, and I'm excited to see the cockiness and stuff come out a little bit with you know, how Thor has blessed you. I mean, that's pretty big.
Yeah, and right. I think it definitely came out more at first because I was used to playing Bryn, too. So I think I started playing more cocky than I think I want Mia to be. But I can play it off as it being, you know, a show. But
sure.
Yeah. But, yeah.
I think that's really interesting layer to her personality and her character, because she is kind of badass. Like, Falzarin is very impressed with Mia, and as Falzarin sees more about what Mia can do, like, he only becomes more and more enthralled and
erect,
wowed by all of the things that Mia can do, and yet Mia is insecure at times,
which you don't know yet, but yeah.
Right.
That leads me to a question about Falzarin seeing Mia's significant access to, like, crazy amounts of magic without having to study and transcribe it like a wizard, or does a warlock have to study too?
Not, it's still quite different than a wizard. Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess compared to warlock and wizard, or warlock versus wizard, like, how does it make you feel to sort of have another magic user in the party with the complete access to their spell list, even as Bill and not Falzarin, you know, stuff like that?
Falzarin is not really the jealous type, I don't think. He's always eager to learn and experience and see new magical things and study them. He's a student of magic, right? He's been studying for years and years, and that's what he does. So I think he finds it really, really intriguing and interesting to see. Likely, I don't think there would be much in the way of clerics in Heracleion. So he's probably had very, very little experience with clerics. And so I think he finds this very interesting, but I don't think jealous. It's certainly, like, it's pretty awesome that Mia has access to all of these spells without, you know, the hardship that wizards have to go through to get this spell and that spell. And it's slow going to increase the number of spells that wizards get access to. So
do warlocks have, like, an innate ability, the warlock spells? Do you just know them, or do you have to...
the warlock, they're imbued with their power, right, from their patron. A wizards can teach themselves through their intellect, and a divine caster like a cleric is also imbued in much a similar way as the warlock. But it's also hardship. It's a different type of hardship, though. Like, it's not just like, you know, pick up. Like, I would think if you look at a sorcerer, sorcerers have natural magical abilities. Nobody gives a sorcerer their power. Sorcerer is born with that power. And there's also a hardship there for them to maybe realize and come into the full extent of that power that they naturally have as a, you know, as a result of their bloodline or whatever it is. But I do, there's still hardships there for Claire, for Mia's type of magic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the warlock, you know, has to pay in one way or another for their magic. Like, I think it's a bit more unpredictable and chaotic. You don't know what you're going to be called upon to pay for to this powerful being that's giving you power, and you're kind of, you know, got a ball and chain.
We haven't heard of your old ball and chain in a while.
Yeah. We sure haven't. I've been trying to not bring it up. And,
well, I think that plays out well as Falzarin, though. He's, like, super paranoid, and he's like, all right, screw that for now. Like,
trying to squash any conversation that brings up Isabella so that hopefully Leland will forget about the fact
Oh, no, buddy. Your name's on the bottom of that contract. But also keep in mind the amount of game time that has passed, right? So it's kind of may depend on what her expectations of the results, right, of how quickly she expects you to come about those results that she wants. But hey, clock's ticking. Clock is ticking.
That eldritch clock.
What are you going to tell people, like, if you run into people you know in Heracleion, what are you going to tell them about Brendel, if anything at all?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That is from Jessica, our fave.
Yeah, Jess always has good questions,
like,
man.
Do you suspect anyone else at home of being in cahoots with Brendel, you know, another deep scion, potentially?
What are you going to tell Brendel's wife?
Yeah, man.
I mean, she's likely a deep scion as well.
Then what are you going to do when you see Brendel's wife? You're going to Eldritch Blast.
Yeah.
Give her the old EB.
Because I have a feeling if we get to shore in Heracleion, you're going to run into some people you know. It's Leland. Like,
I hope they have great
and
accents.
You know what? You've got some paranoia going on, and it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's a lot of really great opportunity for some RP. I haven't given it much thought. I suppose I should start following you,
like, secretly around the house, and, like, so you, like, get into character, like, looking around, like, come up behind you and blow on your neck and then run away.
Like, maybe put some, like, really clear plastic tape right at, like, forehead level in some of our door frames, so when I walk through, I run into it, and then I'm paranoid every time I go through a door frame. Yeah, I don't know. I think Falzarin is going to be very paranoid when he gets back to Heracleion. And, you know, who does he tell? Because anybody he tells, if he's not certain that he can trust them.
Oh, crap, you guys. Leland just took notes. This is not, this is not good.
I did just jot something down.
He was looking down and scribbling.
What have you done, Jessica?
We need to develop some kind of
test, a
deep scion test.
Yes.
Give them Brendel's wife.
The other thing is that Falzarin doesn't really have a lot of close friends, and like he didn't get along very well with a handful of the
elders,
magic users, and the people who he would have been studying under or alongside, because he had some beliefs and some he kind of was a bit strayed from what was taught there. You know, they're all about the traditions and sticking with what's known and what's been done for centuries. And he wanted to go and find new magic and discover new things that don't fall in line with the traditions that have been going on for a long time in Heracleion. So that hits Falzarin especially even more so, more deeply, because Brendel was like the one person that he was good friends with, that didn't hold a grudge against Falzarin for Falzarin's differences from a lot of the other people on Heracleion. So, you know, Falzarin's world's been turned upside down.
Brendel loved you for your differences, man. Friend will love
it. Let's face it, if your closest friend and most trusted friend is Shaft, you're fucked.
Right? There's a quote.
Things are looking not very good for Falzer and poor Falsey.
Oh, effing Brendel. That guy.
Yeah, we got a little bit of the after party's explicitness spilling into the one episode there with Shafts talking about Brendel. Had to bleep that.
That was a touching moment.
Yeah, that was good. Was that all Jess had?
Yeah, that's all for now. I mean, I think we had a comment. We want to congratulate our giveaway winner.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Oh, yes. Hugh Melrose. Congrats, Hugh. So his dice are, I mean, they may have arrived already by now, but if not, they're in the mail.
Let's ask Emily about the dice bag.
It's coming along. Emily made some decisions that she's regretting, but it is coming along.
Emily cares so much. She's just putting a lot of effort into it.
Emily definitely made things harder on herself than they probably needed to be.
It's going to look so good, though. Like, I hope so. So good.
If you wonder why your turtle is spotted red. Blood, sweat, and tears, Hugh. Blood, sweat, and tears.
You'll probably get some DNA off my straight pins, yeah.
She's using some fanged arrows.
He picked some really nice dice, so I'm excited for him to get those.
So next year, when he actually listens to this episode, if he just started listening,
right?
When he won the die, then you can post a picture. So like eight months from now, there'll be a picture show up and go, this is what I picked.
It's building suspense. Hey, we don't know that he's not.
Of course he's a listener. It was a joke.
It was fun to do our first giveaway and ridiculously far more successful than I expected. I was hoping, you know, maybe we get 25 or 50 retweets, and then within the first day, it's like already 100 or two, and I was beginning to sweat because I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, we've got a lot of work on our hands here. But it was really cool to see all the people that participated.
Yeah, it was a great response.
It was a great idea you had.
Well, thank you. I'm excited, I'm excited to give stuff away too. It's fun to give back to the community. So that's cool. And we do, I think we've already mentioned this, but there's going to be two more giveaways, so stay tuned. Both of which are going to be awesome. Somebody will get a chance to win one of D&D books. I think we haven't quite finalized a decision on what those are going to be, but I think, they can pick from a handful of different D&D books, whichever one they want. And then John has very graciously agreed to paint a mini, which... I want to enter myself for that because John is a fantastic mini painter.
Yeah. Thank you. No, I'm looking forward to doing that. I enjoy painting a lot, so it'll be neat to work with somebody to find out what they want and put something out there.
He is painting a reasonably sized mini.
Yeah, we'll get into all the details of what I'm willing to do at that point.
I think we'd said that anything up to the size of the mini from that Seamon game, Death May Die.
No.
Yeah. Just Google. Go out and Google Death May Die by Seamon.
Death May Die.
Yeah, but how hard is that to paint? You just take a can of spray paint.
Quality. The quality goes down as the size goes up.
If we do ever kill this Kraken, I will buy a mini and paint it. So it's like a trophy somewhere. I'm going to get into mini painting just to do it.
Well, y'all better make haste on taking this thing out when it's still a baby then, because...
I know.
I bought some minis to do that for your characters, and then they started dying off, so...
Oh, jeez. I have an in-memoriam shelf for all of the IP dead characters.
Oh, the shelf of death.
Oh, that's funny. You have a giant badger mini, too, you can paint up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, poor Barry.
Oh, man.
Well, this is another great batch of three episodes. I think chapter two so far, we're killing it. So
Killing it.
Pats on the back. Backs all around.
Wait for the ride to Heracleion, people. Woo! Buckle up.
Oh, yeah. Good NPC episode coming up and more on the way.
Yeah, that will be in the next batch of three for sure. So
Marty and Tony from Rolling Dice and Taking Names. They very kindly offered to spend some time with us.
Hilarious.
Samuel Coltis and his brothers.
Twin and brother. Blake Lakely's grandfather. Yep. That's his name.
Dean Coltis. Blake Lakely. You guys meant Sam and Dean.
Sam and Dean.
They hunt monsters for a living.
John doesn't get that.
It's that one show you like that I didn't.
Yeah, it's a TV show. I know that much.
Monster of the Week show, whatever. What is it called?
Supernatural.
I have a very low tolerance for shows like that. I can get about 3 or 4 into it, and I'm like, well, I think I've seen everything. You're just going to, yeah. Well, I walk through the living room as she's watching them, and I take about 5 minutes, and then I'm done with it. I go down and paint. That's how you become a better mini painter.
Get married.
Get married. Oh, get
married. Yeah, I like when he goes down in the basement to paint, because then I can watch my shows.
Yeah.
I've dabbled a little bit in mini painting, but I need to get some headgear so I can see the fine details, some magnification,
or a steadier hand.
That would help too.
It's like a coloring a coloring book in 3D with a little brush.
Yeah, man.
So nothing like coloring a coloring.
It's
book.
Very. It's not. It's very relaxing.
It is. You put some music on or a podcast, and you just go with it, and you get better as you do it.
We should reach out to mini painters and say, hey, we got 62 episodes. We got there a recap. Go. Like, put us get on it while on. You paint. Paint your minis, man.
Maybe we can get Sir Astro to listen to some of our show while he's painting.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That guy is fantastic. He's one of the best, in my opinion, mini painters out there.
And a very nice guy, too.
If you want to learn to mini paint, I'd start there. You just learned the techniques.
Oh, we're back to doing shout-outs that we stopped doing. That's 15 right. After parties ago, are we?
I think we just forgot about it. You didn't remind us, that's for sure.
You know what? On the topic of shout-outs and us not doing them,
oh, great.
I got to give a shout-out.
The T-HUD podcast.
Very touched by This Game is Broken doing a shout-out to us.
It's true.
Their first ever shout-out. That's a show that
We're Not Wizards like, shouted
have loved
us out
for
too.
A long time. Did they?
Yeah.
Follow Friday? Oh.
How did I miss that? Anyway, yeah, Richard's okay.
I love This Game
no,
is
that
Broken.
That was really cool.
I love all the people on that show.
Richard gave us a shout out.
Hey,
I don't know.
So, yeah, you guys, everyone go listen to This Game is Broken, We're Not Wizards. And Death
and the
by
Incredible
Monsters.
Party.
They're all great
oh, wait,
shows.
You already are.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
They're a bunch of hacks.
T-Head Podcast. No, it's okay.
Incorrigible Party. No.
They couldn't produce a podcast to save their lives.
If you recorded the T-Head Podcast in Campbell's voice through its entirety, I would listen to it. Let's talk about the pop heartless. Culture.
Well, to... maybe weaken that blow a little bit, Leland. Elena's not a big podcast listener, so don't be offended.
I am perfectly all right with Elena not listening to a word I say, because she doesn't do it for this podcast, so I wouldn't expect to do anything else.
Hey, excuse me.
Unless you get her on a one-on-one where she's the focus and she's all about it.
Oh, wait, let me get a picture of that face. I just need to have my camera ready.
Oh, my God. Boy.
I got it. I'll post that on Twitter. You need to listen to the next after party.
I can't even.
That was deep.
It's been a few episodes since I chirped you, so I had to get one in there.
You know what? And I chirped first. I handle it really poorly, which is why, you know, with my brothers, they like love dishing it out because they just love, I always react. I can't not react, you guys. Unfortunately, my reaction was bad for podcasts. I just sat there not saying anything, looking at Leland with a death stare. Oh, you got me where it hurts, okay? But it's fun.
Right in the ego, right where it hurts the most.
Don't you know I'm a big deal? Okay, Leland, I'm a big deal.
Everyone knows me in Barrack.
Everyone knows me, okay? I've got money. What do you want?
we really appreciate everybody who has been telling their friends, their family, their loved ones, enemies, their coworkers, maybe your enemies, because we've seen a ton of growth on our follows and listens and all that fun stuff. And we've seen some new iTunes reviews, which is awesome. We really appreciate that.
We just hit 1 million downloads the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. Baby.
1 million already?
That's impressive. Wait, the decimal point's not.
Oh, wait. wait, 1 million? Math is hard.
If you're not aware, we are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Other places? Are we other places?
Redbubble.
Apparently we're scrapping the butt
Red
plug
bubble,
stuff.
So.
We also have a website.
Yeah, we forgot the website.
I really thought that I did a good job of plugging it, you guys.
We're putting up NPCs. We'll be putting up some maps. We'll be trying to update, you know, the world a little bit there and a little bit here and there as you can check that out. There, I did my part. Look at that.
My part's going to be cut, isn't it?
No, it'll be at the end.
Yeah, that bug's great post-credits, Dad.
Shaft is letting it all out.
It makes sense. The butt plug comes at the end.
It prevents anything from coming at the end.
No, we established this in a future episode. It's the ass end.
Oh, we did. I knew we talked about butt plugs. That's why I brought it up.
What was that? I don't remember that.
We definitely did.
I don't either.
You'll remember it when you edit.
Listener, have we mentioned butt plugs before? Please remind us. Or was it off mic? Comment. Click like.
I think we broke Emily.
Click the bell. Subscribe. Hey, we do post our stuff to YouTube. I mean, it's there.
That's
whether
true.
Anyone's watching it or not. Oh, wait. They're not watching us. We should probably clarify that. We could never be recorded.
There's a reason we're never live.
I'm not sure the five of us should actually physically be in one place after this.
Watch out, Origins.
Come meet us at Origins.
Origins 2020, baby.
Come get your logo butt plug at Origins 2020.
Yes! Add the handout! Yes!
Everybody, calm down, okay? Follow us at Incorrigible Par on Twitter, at Incorrigible Party on Instagram, The Incorrigible Party on Facebook. We've got merch on Redbubble. Rep that Incorrigible Party gear, son. We don't have, what was it, rocket launchers? We don't have rocket launchers.
Flamethrowers.
Flamethrowers. Okay. Go to Elon Musk for that.
Yeah, that's Elon Musk, I think, is.
We also post our stuff to YouTube. We would love it if you rate us and subscribe to us on wherever you get podcasts, iTunes. We have an email where you could email us any comments or questions when it comes to After Party. Hashtag After Party IP on Twitter, correct?
Yep.
What's our email again? IncorrigibleParty@gmail.com.
Or contact@IncorrigibleParty.com.
That's as good as you're going to get, folks. Have a good night.
I've been John and Shaft.
I've been Emily and Shakara.
I have been Bill and Falzerin.
I'm Elena, and I do nothing for the podcast.
And I'm Leland Steele. I do everything for the podcast. Happy adventuring!
review us on iTunes.
Okay.
There you go.
Why doesn't that be your shtick? John will say follow us on Twitter. Emily will say we have an Instagram.
I don't use Emily, Instagram, here, but you can follow us
Emily
there too.
Emily will say we have an Instagram, and then I will make a comment saying, "Well, I don't do anything for the podcast, so whatever."
Oh, wow. Self-burn.
Oh, that was a very good attempt at scripting a candid moment. I don't know how you could have got any better than that.
I mean, a loosely scripted still makes it candid, no?
You're right.
We should mention our Redbubble merch.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing more Incorrigible Party out in the
wild.
That would
be cool.
I might, you know, like I said, I might. What the heck are you doing?
I don't know.
Was that you stabbing me? With the knife?
It's either stabbing someone in the face or giving a beej. I don't know which one it was.
Well,
I was stabbing
gonna say,
myself.
Don't keep doing it.
I was stabbing myself, like, kill me now, because I was trying to, like, make it, you know, just, like, a cute, because, like, in the episode 62, John and Emily went back and forth, and, like, they had give and take, and you could tell they were married, and I was like, maybe for once we could be organized, and John could say something, Emily could say something, Bill could say something, and, like, it's organized. That's what I was trying to do.
That makes sense.
Kill me now is what this was, but I'll just go like this instead.
No, it's this. That's what kill me now is, the gun to the head.
The gun to the mouth.
Yeah, that is something different.
Unbelievable.
Not the knife to the face with the lips.
Nope. Most people take that to mean something else, honey.
Mia is so naive. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. My face hurts from smiling.
So, I mean, I don't think we need to, we don't necessarily need to say everything in, like, our normal outro, right? It's just like.
Okay, yeah, it's fine. I just had to make it about me again, you know.
Yeah. All right, I lost connection for a second. What the hell are we doing? I assume nothing was resolved. I've been John and Shaft. I've been John and Shaft. You can follow us on Twitter at Incorrigible Par.
It froze on him smiling, looking really happy.
I'm still good. Can you see me now?
Yes.
No sudden movements, John.
Can you see me? Am I locked up for you?
No,
yeah,
no,
you're
no.
Good, you're good. Good now.
No, okay, no, okay. No.
You should try to kill yourself real quick and see what it looks like. It does not translate to podcast.
No, but I'll take a picture of it and post it after your picture I just posted. Oh,
see, this is what would happen if we ever did one of these on YouTube Live or whatever.
We definitely need to Twitch something at some point in time.
Oh, we should. We really should.
Probably
I'll
should
be
not.
On better behavior, I promise.
Okay. I've been John Shaft. Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter. We just talked about for 10 minutes.
I only heard about half of it.
Here we go.
What the hell am I supposed to do?
So, listener at home, speaking of plugs, you know, Shaft could have used one in that tiny hut. We are at Incorrigible Par on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter for more comments about butt plugs. We are at Incorrigible Party on Instagram. Occasionally we post things there.
How do you keep your farts in? Let us know.
Yeah, we have merch on Redbubble. We've got a pretty sweet logo. You can put it on anything you want. You can put it on... butt plug.
You know what? I was going to say, I freeze up for like 30 seconds. I come back and we're butt plugging it.
All right, where else are we at?
You guys cannot be left alone.
We're on Instagram. We're on all the things. You can email us at incorrigibleparty@gmail.com. And please rate us and review us on iTunes. And happy adventuring.
That was a good
Speaking of practice runs, no, just kidding.
Am I supposed to do anything else?
I don't know what's going on anymore. We were so good up until like an hour 15, and then
This podcast is broken.
Yeah. This podcast is broken.
We are so broken. Oh,
oh my god. Okay, that needs to be redone. That's going to be a 10-minute after
tried so
credit
hard.
Scene.
I tried so hard to make it sound polished.
Okay, Bill. Give it one more go. I'll be quiet.
I feel like he doesn't have the memory for it.
Well, I have faith in him. This time is going to be perfect.
Why didn't we go with the original scripting? Right. I swear.
Well, we can suggest to him the next thing that scripting we are, because Lynn can cut us out and just have Bill.
This is all going to stay in, you know. So go ahead,
no way is this staying in.
You said there's no way it's staying in last time, and then it made it to the episode.
Nah, you'll keep it in.
You'll keep it in. Speaking of butt plugs.
Bill, just keep talking. Don't listen to anything else anybody is saying.
Yeah, I can do this. I got this.
You ignore me most of the time. Come on, man.
Wait, why? Yep. You're saying on the topic of plugs, practice. Like we had just talked about. Oh, because we just talked about plugging the other people.
Well, I assume everything's being cut out.
Speaking of keeping it in.
Now this game is broken. Will forever be synonymous with butt plugs, thanks to the encouragement party. Yeah.
I'm sure they can roll with it. So on the topic of plugs, if you want... What was that?